Production. Recorded live.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's conference call. We're going to, of course, continue to look at the grand jury this evening. It's going to be the focus of our attention for quite some time until we can establish a grand jury in New York State in every one of the 62 counties and then establish, I guess, what we might call a super grand jury. Whereas one individual from each of the grand juries in the counties would come together for a total of 62 to deal with our problems on the state level. And that would be quite powerful, 62 grand juries in one accord. So, of course, the leadership or whoever is sent as the leadership to discuss what could be done, what the define the problems, discuss what can be done, and then go back to their committees or their grand juries, make sure they get their consent to go forward, and then come back and vote, and then we go execute whatever it is we have to do. And it's really quite simple. We're just going to define all the law-breaking up there in Albany within the governor's office and within the Senate and within the Assembly. And once we define it, it's a very simple process. We're going to go in and we're going to tell them how they can fix it. And then either they're going to fix it or they're going to get indicted, and that'll be the end of the tune. And that's the power of the grand jury. The grand jury has a duty. They cannot shirk that duty. And that duty in common law is to expose all fraud and corruption, whether it is in the political or judicial realm, and stop it. So we have to find a way to stop it. And the great thing about the grand jury is that it was not found in the Constitution. It's actually found in the Bill of Rights, and the Supreme Court has ruled numerous times that it's a right. You can't be touched by the government. It's totally under the control of the people. There is no authority by the government or anything. Some people were asking or concerned about becoming grand jurists, and, you know, they got to go to work, and it's not going to be a paid position, although, you know, whatever expenses might be paid will be paid for. And certain individuals will have duties beyond the normal function of the grand jury. For instance, the secretary would have to keep books, write notes, and keep a log and so on. And we would work out something to pay that individual for their additional hours, because that would actually be a job. And they do have to be compensated. People have to live and feed their families. And I don't think it'll be a terrible amount of work, but, you know, maybe it'd be one day a month or one day a week. I don't know. Half a day a week. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. The treasurer, of course, will have to account for the monies, and there'd be a few hours from time to time with that individual. There'd also be the foreman who would probably have to travel to get together in what we might view as the super grand jury. Maybe we'll find a better name for that, but for lack of a better word, we'll call it that for moment at this moment. And you know, traveling across the state to get to a meeting, and but they're going to be very, very busy. I think maybe when individuals are sent out to investigate, that may be something that they might be able to be paid for. The grand juries will need counseling from a legal standpoint, and we obviously cannot get lawyers. There's a group of us that have been working in common law for a while, so some of us could take that job on, and again, another job that would be paid for. These are things that, you know, but you cannot be paid for is the actual work of the grand jury, as far as, you know, sitting down and listening to individuals to discover whether you want to indict or not, or present or not. Most of the work of the grand jury can be done on weekends or evenings. Each grand jury will have to figure it out themselves. They might have to come together a couple evenings a week to do it, or they might come together on a Saturday or something, one Saturday a month. Whatever it is that they work out. You know, as a matter of fact, they could probably even meet in a private room on Skype, which may be too small for that. But there are services out there that the state should pay for, where we can have private conferences. Certain people can come into their own rooms for the purpose of discussing things. We could do that on a state level, too, to save a lot of energy from traveling. and cost factors, time. So we could do a lot of this in the convenience of our own homes on the electronics here, on some kind of a service on the internet that would be private and secure. So there are quite a few things that can be done. As far as actually meeting, okay, for the purpose, you know, if the grand jury gets together and they get a complaint or someone within the grand jury is concerned about a particular government office and they want to investigate or whatever, they decide, okay, yeah, why don't you take a couple of people, go over there and figure out what you got to do. And two or three or four people might go over and do that. Then they'll come back and, you know, bring it back to the grand jury. They could talk about it, discuss it, and hopefully they'll be able to solve the problem and they won't have to go through an indictment. I really think a lot of indictments are going to be rare, in my opinion. A lot of the indictments brought on by in the federal courts, which we'll discuss that a little later, will be a lot rarer than with this government-controlled juries, because they just like to put people in jail, make everyone a criminal. Same thing on a state level. A lot of things will not be indicted on. And I think a lot of the self-investigations by the grand jury, these people will be frightened. They're not going to throw themselves under the bus for the status quo. It's not worth it to them. So most of these people will yield to us and obey the law. I think anybody in their right mind will yield in opposed to being indicted, because that's the choice we give them. You know, if they don't obey the law, the grand jury is going to call you, we're going to talk to you, we're going to decide whether we're going to indict you or not. So I think a lot of it is going to be a lot of home stuff, working out of your, again, we can connect on the computers, coming together maybe an evening or one evening a month or two evenings a month or one Saturday or something, I don't know, to discuss things. But now the actual work, when you decide that you're going to hear an indictment or you're going to decide to hear a presentment, okay, and the difference between a presentment and an indictment is brought by a prosecutor, and either the grand jury indicts or it does nothing. That's it. A presentment is something that the grand jury investigated on its own, or an individual walked in off the streets and said, I got a problem, and you look at it, you decide we're going to indict because you can't fix the problem or whatever the case may be. So what you do is it's called a presentment. So that's the difference. They're both the same thing. It's just that one that the grand jury does its own accord, and the other one is the prosecutor. The state brings up the case. So those decisions would be made. But when you go through that part of the process, that must be done in the courtroom, in the courthouse. Supreme Court was clear on that. Now, it doesn't have to be, because we're free people, but it wouldn't look good if we didn't. And it'll give us power by doing it there. So at that time, when we have to come together during the week, for that purpose, then we're going to have to find time to take off from work. Anybody that's employed, you know, their job will understand. We'll make sure they understand. I mean, they're not going to fire you because you're a grand jurist. And it's not that often that you'd have to meet that way, I don't think. There are times when, you know, and again, we don't need every single one of the grand jurists all the time, but it is our duty to try to be there every time. So if something's really important and you can't be there because you know something else in life is happening that that you need to participate in for whatever reason you think, then you can't be there. The other thing to this is, I was thinking about this. I haven't found anything that prevented us from having more than 25. I don't think you can have more than 25 at a presentment or a decision making for a for an indictment, so we'll make that presumption. But if we had backup people, 30 people, and you call the, you know, some in the main group of people, let's say, and they can't show, and then you start to hit the backups. So if you have a few backups, that's fine. And those few backups eventually will become full-time grand jurists, you know, because we want to move through the system. I'm going to suggest to everyone that nobody serves as a grand jurist more than 2 years. We don't need any fixtures. Someone too long might be able to start to see some power in this, and some corruption could build. This is not a good thing that anyone should be. This is a service to your country, a service to the people. And so, you know, I'm thinking 2 years, maybe other juries. Each jury is free on their own to make a kind of a thing, you know, an agreement amongst themselves, and they may do 3 years. So if there's a lot of people that would like to serve on the grand jury, then it should be definitely 2 years. If there's not so many, maybe three or four, I don't know. But again, that's a people thing. You got to figure that out. That's what you get for being free. You make the decision. And this is the key thing. This is the mindset we have to have, is we have to have this mindset that we're free and we do get to make these decisions. Now, you don't really have to be in a courtroom in a courthouse to make the actual indictment. But again, it just doesn't look good and it doesn't show authority if you're not. And the Supreme Court has ruled that that's been the way it's been done for over 100 years or 200 years, you know, in our country's existence. So let us stick with that kind of a thing. I don't think we should break away from that. I'm thinking of reading this because I think this is where we're at in life, and we have a serious problem, and people have got to get up and moving on this. They've got to stop being shy or thinking that they can't do it or they're not qualified or, you know, 10,000 million reasons, which are all false. I mean, look, at anybody can do this. You only need a heart and a brain. That's it. That's all you need. And be one of the people, you know, so you have experience of what people are and what you are. And of course, we want to develop a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of grace. And it is that simple. There's not that much more to it. After all, the last thing we need is for lawyers to be doing this, or people educated, or government-controlled, or selected individuals screened out. I mean, that's not what a grand jury is supposed to be. But anyway, I'd like to read this. I know Gerard has brought this up some time back, maybe when we were doing our committee man conference. I think he brought this in. And I've been looking at this lately, and it is our times, and it's a speech by Patrick Henry on March 23rd, 1775, just at the beginning of the Revolution, and this is exactly where we are. We are in this very place right here, right now, and people, you got to get off your backs. Everybody's laying on their backs. The people laying on their backs, they got to get up and let's get going. Either we're going to take this country or not. I see some people in here. We've got someone from Florida and from California. I've gotten calls from the Carolinas. I've gotten calls from California also. I've gotten calls from a few other states. I see something going on with Jim Condit, something similar to us over in Ohio. They're looking to take something on a national realm. I certainly hope it's a common law. I haven't been able to speak to him about it yet, but I will. But I think it was Joe Skews brought up that I got an email from him suggesting something to do on the Internet or in a conference room or something. I forget exactly, but maybe to try to get something out electronically. What I might do is I might put together a PowerPoint. My PowerPoint, I believe, has the ability you can talk in and get audio and video and then play it like a movie. And I think I know a place where we can actually run that kind of a thing online, where people can come in and see this, and we can get it out there, countrywide. So it's something I'm going to think about, and maybe I'll have an answer what we may be able to do with that next week. But let me read this. It's not the whole speech. It's the tail end of the speech, and I'm going to start off where he says, they tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when the British Guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of an effectual resistance by lying supine on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of the means which God of nature hath placed in our power, 3 millions of people armed in a holy cause of liberty, And in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemies can send against us. And now we're over 300 million strong. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand ye here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I believe this is exactly where we are today. We are at that point. The war has actually begun. It's time to get out into the battlefield. Why stand ye there idle? You know, the decision on whether we're going to fight this battle in a bloody way or we can fight it in a peaceful way. This is the peaceful way. If we move quick enough, we can do it. If we hesitate, if we procrastinate, if we hold off for that, making that phone call to our next-door neighbor in the county next door to see if we can't get them into the battle and to start pushing everyone to get our 25 in each one of our counties, if we don't do that, there's no doubt in my heart and in my mind that this battle will be a bloody battle, and it's going to be one that I don't desire to have. But I, too, I remember when I was a kid hearing Patrick Henry's speech and saying, wow, what a brave person, you know, give me liberty or give me death. But today, you know, I'm a little more mature and I look at these things and I'd prefer death any day. I'd prefer death any day than to live under these bastards. So it's time to get up and get into the battle. We got to go forward. Every person in this room that hears this this message needs to make some phone calls tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and not stop. I say take off work and call in sick and let's well, maybe you can't get the people on the phones, but let you know, we got to do what we got to do. You know, take time away from other things. Shut off the TV or whatever it is you got to do. And sacrifice some time with the family and get out into the fields here and let's build up the ranks and get the people into the system that we need. So if we don't do it again, it's going to be a horror for us. But meanwhile, this thing is moving through the rest of the states. Right now, we have only a couple of weeks to get the people together and get our 25s and get to that point of organizing where we know how many people are going to be coming to these conferences or to these workshops. You know, the logistics of setting these things up is pretty overwhelming on its own, not to mention the fact that we have to create the program and write everything down and put it together in written and electronic forms and prepare for feeding the people and having a meeting and greeting, you know, approximately 400 people in each location. And, you know, we need to make that count. We need to figure this out. So before we can even go get a room, we need to know how many people we need to have come. So people have got to fill out their applications and get them in and make that commitment. The commitment is filling out the paper and putting up that $30. Now that's a commitment. Now we know people are coming. And I say, let's oversell it. If you get 30, get 30. first 25 get in that paid, and those people who didn't pay yet are going to pay at the door maybe. They'll have to wait to see for the people who paid to get in first and then let them in. But I don't know what else to say. But we got to get our 25 at all costs. We got to go forward, and we have to organize, and we have to get our orientation to take a seat as a grand jurist and start to really work on the fixing in this country, starting, of course, in our country, in New York State, and then the nation. But truly, I don't think it's going to take any more than once we're in power. I truly don't believe it's going to be any more than 30 days. I've been thinking about how we're going to go about laying this position out so that it is cannot be rejected in any way. And I already started writing a paper on this, which is going to be, and every county is going to have to get a seal. A seal costs about $35-$40. So, we put out the money. You will get reimbursed later, but we put out the $40, get a seal. And so each seal might say, county of Green. Let's see. Yeah, county of Green, and then grand jury, county of Green. Grand jury, county of Columbia, of Orange, whatever it is. And then there's an inner part to the seal. I know on my seal that I have for a court of record, it says in Latin, it says, but by the grace of God, justice. Okay, so I suggest that that's what we might put on the inner part of the seal. A date. Well, let's think about a date. Do we want to put a date when we actually re-establish this, which would be, 2013, or would we want to put a date when our Constitution came forward? The U.S. Constitution, I would suggest above the state Constitution. So maybe, something 1789 or whatever it may be, or when the Bill of Rights came out. I don't know. We'll have to discuss the year and figure that out. But anyway, we have to establish a seal. And once we go through the process, which we did explain at an earlier point on how the process goes as far as electing a grand jury and the whole process of getting into where to do it and how to do it and so on and so forth, now it's a matter of filing it. And if we take a paper, which I'm writing, and we'll put in all the information that'll state the fact that the election took place at such a point. And also, we want to, when we call the papers to have them make note of the point that a grand jury is being elected, and it's a, community service that papers have to do, after they've been elected, we'll also want to call that paper back and let it be known that a decision was made by the county of, whatever the county you're in, that an election that the people did elect to reinstate a common law grand jury in their county. Okay, so you have two newspaper clippings, one calling for the election, notifying the people, the other one giving the results of the election to put into a filing. You'd have three witnesses minimum that would give sworn affidavits. And attesting to the procedure and how it went through. They documented in their own words how they saw what took place. Those three affidavits would be put there with the two newspaper clippings. Maybe a CD would put in there because you videotape the process. And then the wording of the authorities given by what authority the people have here in York County to establish a grand jury. And we got some powerful language for that. And it's not just, Scalia's writing of that particular case, United States versus Williams in 92. There is a fountain of stuff. And I've already started writing that to put it together. And what is the process? And when you put this whole package together and we put it with all the trimmings, very legal looking, and we do it in a very nice legal way, it then gets filed with the county clerk as a matter of record. Maybe we'll send a copies to the newspapers. I don't know. But then a copy is then taken down to the courthouse. It's served on to the clerk of the court, and with a petition for a request for access into a room and the necessary identification cards to enter in and out of the building, and the process is done. Now, if they reject that, and I doubt very few counties will reject it. And so just by the fact of a whole bunch of other counties letting it go through, okay, then you're going to have a situation of precedence, and the counties that are rejecting it aren't going to look very good. And the pressure will be on them. As long as we do this up and up and in the public, the pressure will be on them. Now it's a matter of getting before the federal courts within 48 hours. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, I really do believe the likelihood is strong that Scalia, if he got word of this, that there was a problem, he'd like to get his two cents in on this. Because I asked myself the question, why did Scalia write all this stuff in that court case? There was no need for that. You know, the point was brought out last week that this was dicta. And I went back looking through this court case, and indeed it was dicta. But you know what? Dicta still holds, okay, because they don't have anything to counteract it in any court decisions. But beyond that, all that dicta was really quotes from other cases and other facts spread throughout our legal process. So everything that Scalia had said had already been said in other cases and other established law. So all he did was he took the opportunity to use this case to bring all of that together in one place. And I wonder why he did that. I can only think that he saw the things coming, and he thought, hey, let me get this out here. Maybe someone will see it because I'm going to put it all in one place. And it took a while, but we saw it. And we're responding to it. So I think that that's the case. I have no doubt in my mind that the federal courts are not going to go up against this case and all the other cases built upon it, because then the higher courts will have to rule on top of them. But to bring it in, to go out and get a petition for a writ of mandamus from a federal court would be a very simple process. It would take 48 hours. And they would hammer down their decision real quick, and I can't see them go. This is their decision. How are they going to go in opposition to this? So that would force these state criminals to respond and have to do what they're told to do, and they'll be ordered to obey and go forward. Plus, we'd have all the precedences of the counties that did get through without a resistance. So I'm not foreseeing a problem in any way. Of coming forward with this and getting the power. And once we get the power and get in seat, it is unstoppable. No one can go up against the grand jury, the common law. You cannot go against the common law grand jury unless that common law grand jury violates someone else's rights by their decisions or whatever it is that they're doing. They cannot be stopped. They cannot be second-guessed. They cannot be questioned. So that's a pretty powerful thing, I think. Let me just look real quick if there's anything else I want to add before we open the phone lines up here. So I'm going to think about trying to put together a PowerPoint, and in that PowerPoint put something out somewhere so people can see it. I think that's going to be it. Let me open the phone lines if anybody has any comments or anything that I said, any questions or any other ideas or whatever. So let me, anybody that wants to talk, just to raise your hand, click on *8 to raise your hand, and I'll open your line up. Gerard, if you want to say anything, you've already been unmuted. But *8 to raise your hand, and we'll acknowledge you and pass the phone line to you. Gerard, do you have anything? I see New York. I'm going to unmute someone from New York, so you're open too. So who wants to talk first? New York, go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris. How you doing, John?
How you doing, Chris? Good to see you.
All right.
I hear you.
I was a little while ago. You were talking about roles within the grand jury and certain positions being compensated for some special amount of work that they have to do. Where does that money come from? Is that somehow allocated in the judicial system already to pay grand juries?
That's correct. Right now they are paying actual salaries to people from grand jury and all of their costs, you know, and anything, traveling, reimbursements and things of that nature. So those funds will come to us. We'll probably have to give them some kind of a budget, what we anticipate what might be, and try to work things out and be very accurate with whatever monies we spend. And so each year, I guess, we'd have to give a budget. One of the things we're going to have to do in the very beginning, and this is extremely important, and this is why we're having the workshops, to try to give everybody a mindset, to lay out procedures, to lay out forms and ways to go about things, and to make sure that we stay in line with true liberty, and so from the common law position. So with that being said, you know, I know myself and a few others are capable of counseling and making sure paperwork goes out good. Once a grand jury, let's say the first time a grand jury sends out a particular paper for the first time in the form, they might want to have it run through someone who could look at that and comment on it and make some corrections if there's some problems. But once they get that form out once, they shouldn't have to call us anymore unless something unique comes up, and they should be able to do that. Another procedure they may have to go through, so they have the opportunity to call someone for counsel to talk to, make sure it's done correctly and that we're all consistent in the way that we do it, and so on and so forth. And as time goes on, there'll be less and less need for counseling. But at some point, there'll always have to be someone there that can give some counseling. And people within the grand jury themselves may develop enough of a knowledge to be able to give the counseling to the group themselves. And however that works out, again, we're a free people. We're looking also to develop, and we're hoping to spring forth this from within the grand juries themselves, the people that are very active, that are very interested, and really want to be able to articulate the laws and the system and the process and really get involved on the legal end of things, because it is quite fascinating. At least I find it extremely fascinating. And so we're looking to establish a law firm in every single county. And hopefully that'll grow out of our first grand jury. And if we get two or more people in every county that could do this, then they could start offering their services. Because remember, we need to be pushing towards that common law process. Anything else, go right ahead. You're still, mic is open, and Northwest New York is also open, too.
Yeah, John, Randy Murphy here in Erie County. How are you?
How you doing, Randy?
Good. This is just a detail point, just something that came up in your discussion here with respect to the seal, and you were looking to put a date on the seal. Uh-huh. I think in order to maybe shake everybody up a little bit, I don't think we should be referring to maybe our own Constitution or Declaration of Independence as a date, but maybe we should look back to the Magna Carta in 1214.
Ah, good idea.
To give people the real significance of what we're trying to do here,
I think that's 1215, is it?
1215, yeah, 1215.
Yep.
I was a year ahead of my time. I don't know.
You were a year ahead of the times.
But I think that would have a significance that we could impart on people that, you know, these rights predated our Constitution and predated the formation of this country by hundreds of years.
Well, this is a very good idea, so I am going to really spearhead that idea in my county, and I'm sure they'll agree, and if everyone does the same. And I'm going to suggest it to all the counties. That is a fantastic idea, because, look, at the grand jury has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And they first surfaced, of course, in the 1215 in the Magna Carta, and I'm sure it's been around longer than that, so
yeah.
However that works. So, but 1215, yeah, that's good. Great idea.
All right.
Thornton would be proud of us, huh? Anybody else? By the way, your mic's still open. In New York, Chris, your mic is still open. Gerard, your mic's open. Anybody else wants to pick up the mic, raise your hand. I see Carl from Orange County. Everyone's mic that I mentioned is still open, and now so is Carl. Go right ahead, Carl. Mr. Carl from Orange County, you're speaking into a mic that's not plugged in or something.
Yeah, no,
There you go.
I had my mic on. So how
hey, you got that paper today, huh?
Yes, from you? Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll come back to that. But 1215-2013, so we remember our past and we remember the people.
Yeah, we're not going to get that many numbers, I don't think, but we'll see. I think we can only get a date, in, you know, 1 year date in there, because we're overloading it. Again, they can take out other words, But you can get the date in the center, and then you can get something else in the inner circle and then the outer circle. The outer circle is the most letters, and, you know, we'll be able to fit the grand jury and the name of the county. And some counties are long enough that they may only be able to put CO instead of spell out county, but that's fine, whatever that is. The inner circle, I feel really strong that I'm going to push real hard the idea of getting in his grace and justice. So, you know, and that's in Latin. What was it? But by grace, I think it says. And it looks really nice in Latin, and it gives a tribute to God for justice. And we certainly have to have him somewheres, and we certainly do have to attribute all justice to him. And only that way will we be blessed.
Okay, yeah, like I said, would be nice to have some vanity left, you know.
Yeah.
Posterity.
If we could get it in, that's something to think about, though. I don't think we can, though. I'll have to look. I have the, you know, these things are easy to get. I'll create one. And I'll put it up online, and all you have to do is go to Staples with the, you know, because that's where I bought mine, I think. Yeah, I bought mine from Staples, and you could just create it, and they make a nice, and it's inexpensive, a really nice, for a strong, seal. And they have a tabletop seal, you know, so you could buy either the handhold or the tabletop. I know Thornton was complaining about the handhold. You get the tabletop, it's a lot easier, you know. And so you don't have to put that much pressure on it. You know, it's got a long handle. But whatever.
Hey, John, I've got a question. I recall back to the Great Seal of the United States that was commissioned by George Washington or whomever. I'm getting my history incorrect here. But is this something that we could incorporate some unique artwork? I mean, I have a friend of mine who is a world-renowned sculptor and might be interested in actually doing something artistic.
Well, yeah, I think we might be able to do that. I got to remember, Carl, do you remember? You got a seal? Did you get yourself a seal?
Yeah, I got a seal.
Did you remember where there was anything we could do for artwork? I'll have to look. I don't remember. But
yeah,
that would
they,
be good.
They
yeah?
give you choices, but I just wanted just the word seal. I don't remember what I didn't ask for anything else.
We were looking at shields, remember, John? We were going to put shields
right,
on it.
Right.
I think,
that's
I
why
think,
I definitely, yeah. this would be good for this guy to maybe create us something
and every,
for
every
a
county
shield.
Can make their, every county can make their own seal. They don't have to be the same. I mean, they.
Well, absolutely. But, you know, we're going to suggest things, and then people will have something to work off of. But remember, you know, I personally feel, and I feel stronger about this, I'm going to blow this horn all the way through to the end, is we have to find a way to acknowledge God in everything we do, and what perfect way but to put it into the seal. And we're not the only ones that put that into the seal. There's lots of places that put that into the seal in Latin. And it looks really nice in Latin, you know, but by the grace of God. And then the word justice underneath. And justice, you know, it ties us right back to God, you know. So, but yeah, I think a shield and a sword or some kind of like a something like that might be good. We do have something that we just recently put up on our meetup.
Oh, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For New York Liberty Alliance, so we did put a kind of a shield up there. But if someone could design something really nice, I think that would be cool. I guess every county can do their own, or we can get one, and maybe everybody in one accord can be pretty much the same, and the only difference is their county. But again, this is where it comes to be free. You know, we're free thinkers, and we have to think free. We're the first grand juries in New York State, so we have the opportunity to kind of create and set the mood and the mold. So
this is a New York State movement, so I think it might be a good idea to have something emblematic of this entire movement across the state, and then have the county names as being the differentiating feature, but to have some sort of an emblem.
I agree. Something we all share.
Exactly.
I like that. See what you could do. Talk to this guy. Get back to me. Let's look at some things. And
do you have some concepts that you'd like to, you know, springboard from that I could show him and have him draft some ideas?
Yeah, I'll take a look. Maybe others will come up with some ideas. But here's where it's going to go. We want to get these things going soon. So before we actually take office, we're going to need our seals. And so we need to go forward. And, you know, as Thomas Jefferson said, you know, we have a government, not by majority, but by the majority that participates. And we're going to have a seal, not by the majority, but by the majority that participates. So anybody that's interested in
there this, you go.
You know, let's get it moving, and we're going to do what we got to do.
Let's make this simple on 62 counties. Let's create a base, an emblem that we can all stand behind, and then in the outer ring, we'll put our county name.
Yeah, I think that shows unity. That shows unity, and we'll make a super seal. You know, I don't know, for lack of a word, a New York State grand jury seal. Let's call it. And that's going to be the collection of all of the grand juries. And, and each grand jury will have a foreman, and maybe there'll be a co-foreman. So you have two foremen. And you know, if two or three or more people want to come up to the statewide meeting or participate, they're all then welcome. Because, look, that's where we're going to get the understanding of the problems, and we're going to gain more knowledge, because we're going to be able to glean from each other. And there's a lot of things that we can grow by that, you know. And so, there is no leader here. That's the key thing. Being a foreman is just someone with the hammer, so to speak, and someone that's got more time to put into this. Because if you don't have the time to put into this, you surely don't want to be the foreman. Because the foreman's going to be probably the busiest individual of the whole process. So, but any more piping in? All these phones are still open. I'm opening up New York City right now. So someone from New York City, you're open also if you want to pipe in.
Jeff Munheit, how are you doing?
Who is this? Jeff?
I'm glad to hear that. I got onto the conversation a bit late. You know, I just remembered, you know, I came back from a walk, and, you know, weather's nice over here. But,
you know, by the way, you can, when you join the meetup, if you look on our left side, of our New York Committeeman page, you'll see a little guy walking there looking at his cell phone. Okay, I guess he's texting. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you click on that little guy, it gives you the instructions how to get a text message, and you can have that text message. Every time a meeting is happening, you'll get 2 hours early.
You don't understand. I live like halfway into Amish land. Like, I don't use a cell phone. I just use the landlines. I don't like new technology. I try to avoid it at all costs.
Set a clock. Get a wind-up clock. Set a clock.
Yeah. that's more my speed. Yeah, manual, right.
Yeah.
But I was going to mention to you that, you know, you're talking about Latin and getting a seal and all that. I think that's just the wrong direction. I mean, you know, it's like, what are we trying to do? I mean, are we trying to, you know, join the Freemason movement? I mean,
No. The reason why we want to get a seal is because the king always has a seal. When he speaks his word, he puts a seal on it. You could take that to the bank. When the Grand Union speaks their word, they're going to put their seal on it. You can take that to the bank.
It
establishes us in a very, very specific way, and Gerard's going to bring up part of that. Go ahead, Gerard.
When you get something notarized, they use a seal. As a matter of fact, they have stamps, but they also have seals. If you want to do a sworn statement, you better make sure they use their seal, because that's what they're supposed to use. You're supposed to use both.
And this will be the seal
today.
Listen,
this will be the seal of the people of New York. This is the real power of New York. It's the people. It's the people's seal. We're going to go put justice out there. So, yeah, the seal is an important part of this whole process. Everything else is people thing, and however you want to run it and operate it, you know, there is no – we're going to set some guidelines and some rules to suggest, but you do what you want. You got to be free.
Listen,
and
hey, John, with respect to the seal, I own four corporations, and every one of them has their own corporate seal.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
Here's the thing.
Trust,
there's a lot of occult stuff. There's a lot of occult stuff that goes into these.
They have seals too, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I don't want us to be thought of as like, you know, like, who are these guys? You know,
well,
they
robbed from us.
Cults?
We didn't rob from them. You know, God puts his seal on too. If you read the Bible,
if you're going to put their... You're going to put, by the grace of God, you can't accuse us of being a cult.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, but there, look what's on the back of the dollar bill, for example. It says, in God we trust. But then look at those things.
Yeah, but what God? Satan or Jehovah? You know, what God? What name is he coming in, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in other words, if you put on anything, it should be of truly
look,
a holy
God,
nature,
God
not
has,
of a, you know, an abomination. Or
right. Yeah, God has set forth a thing for us, and God speaks of a seal, and he seals things up, and he puts his seal on things. And kings came out with the seal. And kings in the beginning, the kings that we're talking about, they were good kings because they were elected for the purpose of maintaining justice for the people. And
well,
they had a very important role to bring forward.
Is the purpose of a seal symbolic of a solemn promise?
That and the fact that it has authority. It's a seal, and the king has spoken, the people have spoken, and that's it. There's nothing else to talk about. You see? And why we have to keep moving it from people to people. We don't want to stay in too long.
It validates your word. So you put a seal on a document, and what you're saying is that this is my solemn bond. These words
right.
are not just written on a piece of paper. They are sealed with my solemn bond.
Exactly.
It's unlawful to use a seal to represent something that you're not, you know.
By the way, if anybody wants to pipe into this conversation, you just have to click on *8, your hand will go up, and we will unmute you. When we start to get a lot of background noise, I'll start muting people, but right now everybody I have unmuted is still unmuted. So anybody who is not unmuted and wants to be unmuted, click *8, and your hand will go up, and I will acknowledge you. Go ahead. Was that Carl?
Yeah, I also thought it was for authenticity. Right? Signature and then the seal in combination distinguishes your identity more so than doubt. I thought that was one of the points of it.
Well, it is authenticity because what happens is in order to, you know, if somebody wants to forge that document, they're going to have trouble reproducing that stamp in the paper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, the kings used to put wax and then put their stamp on it, their ring or whatever. But, you know, and that was somewhat of a protection. But when you stamp that thing down into the paper, I mean, any legal document today that has a seal, that's one of the reasons they're doing it. You know, I mean, they have high tech things now with watermarks and all this crazy stuff to keep people from forgery and counterfeit. And that's really a big part of it is counterfeit. Listen, it would be illegal for me to use a seal from John's corporation or Joe's corporation, right? That would be a violation of the law because I'm representing myself and only certain people in the corporation can seal things anyway, right? You know, that's
only officers.
Right, the officers, exactly. So it's an authenticity. And it's also preserves you know that original document against fraud.
Florida has been unmuted, and New York has been unmuted.
That's why you use artwork and a seal also, because it is a protection against forgery.
Right, makes it more original, exactly.
And it's authentic. People bend the knee a little bit quicker to something like that because it's authentic, you know. So, and we're going to expect that the government is going to respect that seal. You know, once we put the seal on, that's it. We've spoken. Nothing to talk about. So, Florida, you're open, and New York, you're open. And by the way, those people who have names out there, like you know, just New York. Well, I think maybe if you're coming in from that area, I think maybe it just sticks that name. Like we've got a lot of New Yorks in here. But people should consider going and getting a name and so that they can identify themselves a little bit. And, you know, you could put New York's NYC Frank or something, you know, first name or whatever. But anyway, Florida, you're open. And New York, you're open.
Okay, I'm on with Florida. My name is Mike. I'm actually going through my friend. He's in conference calling with me, so... my name is Mike. You could call me the Republic Citizen Ombudsman. I have a action actually in California. And what we've run into is that there's several things. One, the government's not respecting any of the citizens' grand juries. And Walt Fitzpatrick's case is one of those where the super grand jury by Bob Campbell met regarding the Obama birth issue. and the federal court just summarily dismissed it. How do you plan to deal with
good question. Unity is the key to that whole thing, and I've looked at some of these other things going on out there, and I can tell you that some of the grand juries moving through are moving through in a wrong way. There's a lot of misinformation on how they're establishing things or doing things in some cases. Another case is if you get a grand jury and they take on Obama the first thing, I mean, that's a pretty big move, and you know you're going to get some heavy resistance. I think you have to work a little slower. Now, we're going to move very quickly through the state of New York.
Okay,
I'll give you the mic back in a second, but I just want to make the point, the main point. We're going to move very quickly through the state of New York right up to the top cheese, you know, the governor, pretty quickly. But before we do that, we're going to straighten out our counties. And what's going to really give us power, I believe, we're going to be doing it very uniquely the way we're going to set it up. We're going to follow some of the procedures of the past, plus we're going to add some more things that give us more credibility that comes out of common law and out of our own free thinking that just makes it, hey, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it that way. And with the seal and just a lot of things. It's just one part of the whole thing. But here's the key. When they wake up one Monday morning and they find 62 grand juries in 62 counties calling in their justices of the county that was elected to talk to them to glean the wisdom of those judges, that they're going to get the idea to begin with. And when we talk to the sheriff and we talk to the prosecutor, and then we're meeting on the state level, all 62 juries, okay, their foremen are meeting on the state level to discuss a plan on how to deal with the governor and how to deal with the Senate and how to deal with the assembly. And when we come in one accord, they can't call us some fringe group out there in Dutchess County or over in Greene County or some little other county in the state of New York. No, they're going to say it's the people in every county all over the place from all kinds of towns, from all kinds of people, and they're doing this together as the people raising up to get power. And the fact that they'll recognize us and permit us to have a seat in, and they'll have no choice in this, a seat within the county court, in the county seat, that's it. They're not going to be able to do anything. But one of the big things I saw, some grand juries have less than 25. They've also done certain things that are more statutory than common law. So we got to be careful. Like, I see a lot of people go into court, and they'll call themselves natural born and thinking that that's going to make them free. Well, you'll find the word natural born in the 14th Amendment. It could be a problem. I think the safest is the people, because the people is found right there, in the beginning of the Constitution. It's in the prelude. What do they call that?
Preamble.
Preamble, thank you. It's right there in the preamble. So that's the power. So these little nuances, these little things that people make mistakes, they will seize on that and work to prevent you from coming forward. So, and also, again, you don't go after the dictator of a nation, very first thing, order of business. You can't go after that until you get better than half the states together doing what we're doing, and then you go to Washington. Until then, you got to stay in your state. We can't take such a big jump. We're going up against a huge monster.
Well, we can't California either. There's a big problem, and that is that these people are running outside the reservation. And as far as it wasn't just one grand jury, it was multiple grand juries. And
how are they doing out there? How are they doing on the smaller levels?
I didn't hear you say that again.
Are they building momentum on a smaller level or no?
They're still building momentum. It's just that, I took those indictments that they've done, those presentments, and then tried to bring them forward into my state under writ of mandamus, dealing with the fact that the certification of Mr. Obama was
Right, but that's
under state laws is criminal right now.
That's huge. It's too big, though, for a county grand jury to take on. It's just too big. Let me ask you on a lower level, though.
I presented both to the federal and the county grand jury, and both of them have been blocked, which means to say to me that
it's not enough. You don't have enough momentum.
The U.S. attorneys are blocking it. I
hear exactly what you're saying. I agree with you that it's a problem and so on and so on. But I'm going to tell you what. Anybody is going to have a problem going up against 62 grand juries in one state, which covers every county, plus we're going to divide off into the federal grand juries, and we'll also, that's another plan we haven't even spoke about yet. And we're also going to deal on a level to call ourselves a state grand jury for the sole purpose of dealing with the state government. But then, when you have other states doing the same thing, if you have 50 states doing the same thing and they come up against the dictators of Washington, what do you think is going to happen then? You think they're going to have any ability to back off or reject that? But my question is this. These grand juries, have they established themselves in their county seat? Are they meeting to do indictments from the prosecutor?
Yes, they did. They did all the necessary
requirements. My question is...
Larry Klayman.
Let me ask some very specific questions so I can really get a picture here. I want to dial in to see where you're coming from. So you have, let's just take any one grand jury. You have a grand jury that has established itself. It did it properly. They got 25. Mm-hmm. It's a common law. And they did it in public. They did the voting in public and everything else, and they put the notices
all
in
their stuff public.
Everything. Okay.
Yeah,
they formed the paper and laid out and filed it with the county and filed it with the county court with the county court clerk, correct? Supreme Court. They did that too.
As far as I know, they've done everything that they were.
Then the county turned to them and gave them access to the grand jury room and also gave them identification cards to come in and out of the building. Did that take place?
I don't know on that part.
You have to push it right to the hilt. And then after that, did they meet with the prosecutor to let them know that they're a common law grand jury?
I know George met with the prosecutor there.
Okay. Well, one of the duties of a grand jury, once you establish a seat in the county seat in a county court, and the Supreme Court recognizes you at that point, you've got all the paperwork in place, everything was done correctly, you've got 25 people, you're meeting in the grand jury room, and then you call in the prosecutor and say, look, we have a big dilemma here. We have a huge dilemma. We are a common law grand jury. We have been elected by the people. It's the most powerful force in the entire country, of the country of New York. And here we are, our duty is to deal with all fraud. If we see fraud, we have to correct it. If we see corruption, we see evil, we have to correct it. So we have a problem. You have another grand jury. Hold on, let me make my point. You got another grand jury that is no grand jury at all. They don't have the right number of people. They're filtered out by the government. They're controlled by the government. They're controlled by you. This is evil, and you can't go there no more because of that's not legal. Now, that forces that prosecutor to come to the common law grand jury only. And if he goes anyplace else, you're going to have to threaten him with an indictment because you're going outside of the people, because this is found in the Fifth Amendment of the Bill of Rights. It's not found in a body, and it's separate from the government. It's a right to the people, and it's a fourth branch of government above the other three branches of government. And so you're going to have to indict the prosecutor. You get to do a presentment on him. And the next
that's what's coming down to in California, is we're going to have to turn around and indict the prosecutor. And
exactly.
The
but what I want to try
well,
to say
you see,
go ahead.
If you start on the top, then that's the fight you're starting up right at the beginning. In other words, you're doing a 15-round fight, and you're starting at round 15. You see, we're starting at round 1.
I understand that, but we're – I think that our country is coming under exigent circumstances here. You know, the West Coast here, we're being threatened to be nuked by a foreign country right now. So things have to kind of move a little quicker.
Well, we could move this thing in 90 days. We can. But now listen, this thing is constitutional. It's from the Bill of Rights. It's actually outside of the Constitution. It is we the people, and ultimately, it's we the people that defend the Constitution. It's up to us. Who gives a crap what the Supreme Court says? And the only reason they get away with ignoring and doing is because we the people don't get together and hold their feet to the fire. When we went to get 75 people, 100 people in that courtroom, that judge had a completely different attitude he had when there's only two people in there, because there's only one thing they fear more than liberty, and that's the people. So if you come in with people power, that on the effect.
Right, I'm hearing a lot of noise. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everyone again. I'm opening up California, but anyone that's unmuted that wants to get unmuted again, raise your hand and I'll unmute you. California has just been open, by the way.
Because I'm on Johnny's line, so.
You're coming in from Florida, right?
Right.
I'll leave you open.
I'm calling Johnny on Florida, so leave that unmuted.
Right. I got you unmuted in Florida, and I got California is now unmuted. They had their hand up. New York City, I'm going to mute you, but if you want to open up again, just raise your hand. I'll turn you right back on and anyone else, because there's just too much noise in the background. But Florida and California, you're both unmuted.
Yeah.
And Gerard, of course.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm willing to work with people that are willing to make things move, because we need to see some ability to push back against the serious thing that we're facing here.
One of the things I'd like to say is we're not just creating one grand jury. We're doing it methodically. We're doing it across the entire state of New York, every single county. We have a process on how we're going to deal with the problems and how we're going to get control of our own counties first by dealing with the judge, dealing with the prosecutor, and the sheriff. Those are the three main people in every county. We got to get them on board and understand where we're coming from and where they're going to have to be. And then once all those counties have done that, meanwhile, we'll be meeting on a state level, and within a couple of weeks, now we're going to be going for the round 15 in just a couple of weeks, because we know we have to move quickly. But we will have already set the groundwork. We would have established ourselves. We've got a foundation, and we're in every county, and we're coming in one accord, and we're coming in the name of justice, with a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And this is where our attitude has got to be all the way through. And we're not coming to attack and destroy. We're not going in after to put on a witch hunt. We're going in there to say, hey, you know, we see that you have deficiencies in the process, and therefore there's criminal activities being taken place because you're violating people's rights. This is what you have to do in your office, Mr. Governor. You have to correct this, 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 and this. This is what you guys here in the Assembly has to correct. This is what you guys here in the Senate has got to correct. And we're expecting you to do it because we have a duty. We have to go after the evil, and whether you realize it or not, these things are evil. Fix it, and we're all happy campers. They don't fix it, we're going to indict them. But I believe they're not going to throw themselves under the bus. I believe they're going to fix it. We may have to make an example or two, so be it. But look, if we have criminal judges, I'd love to go after and put them right in jail. I'd love to do it, but that's going in after. We can't do that. But if someone comes up and brings a charge against this judge and comes before the grand jury and says, this guy's a criminal, this is what he done to me, we have to act on that. So he's going to get there anyway because he's a criminal. He's got some in his skeleton in his closet. He'll be before us, but we won't chase him.
Okay, well, I want to just say one thing. Number one, I'm not on a witch hunt. Number two,
the
exigent circumstances is putting our people in danger of war harm. Such an extent that we could have a mass event happen at any time, and that's why we have to work quickly to try to get these people to realize we've got to mitigate the danger.
I'm in absolute agreement with you. Look, I'm in absolute agreement with you. I'm just telling you what we're thinking, what we make sure we're not going to do or go wrong. And I hope that every state is working on this.
I want to see it happen in California. I welcome your help to make that happen in California, too. And
you know, the problem
in California.
One of the problems that you may be running into with respect to your challenges to the birth certificate on the federal level
Northwest New York is open, by the way. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I would like to make one statement first before. It's way beyond the birth certificate. There's so many criminal offenses that have happened under his administration that deal with the absolute national security of this country.
Yeah.
That is absolutely mind-blowing, and a grand jury needs to see it and act upon it before it becomes irreparable harm.
Well, here's what I'm going to throw out to you. There is at least three definitions of the United States of America, or the United States, or these United States, and they're all part of the legalese in the U.S. Code. And Orly Tate's ran into, having a lack of standing in all of the suits that she brought against the federal government. Why? Because she did not exist within the federal zone. Okay, so when you talk about the birth certificates and this president, he's not the president of the United States of America as you believe it. Okay, it's the 10 square miles that it may be the 10 square miles within Washington, D.C.
I'm aware of that.
All right. Well, that's what you're running into, in my opinion. That's the situation that you're running into, and that's why you can't get anywhere and why you keep getting stonewalled, because you have no standing. Okay? And frankly, with respect to the federal government, I mean, I ignore Obamacare and I ignore the federal income tax. I ignore all that stuff because it doesn't apply to me. Okay? So if people start waking up to the fact that we do not live within, that the majority of us, the vast majority of us, don't even live within the jurisdiction, we are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States of America, okay? We're not.
That's right. That's the only reason it stands up, because people cooperate with it.
Well, here's one thing we could do. You know, as a state, let's just take New York, because
bottom line, John, before I finish,
I think,
John, you're taking the right point. Of the most important thing to us is our villages, our towns, our counties, and our state.
Exactly. And getting our sheriff to understand who's right behind him, and we will not indict him because they say, or anyone says, that he broke a law when he's standing up for the Constitution. We will not indict him. We will be behind him. And we will indict anyone who tries to come after him. Okay? The feds come into this, we'll put an order out an indictment for the feds coming into the state. We'll tell the sheriff, go arrest him if you want. You're
exactly.
The top cop. You do what you got to do. We're right behind you. Give the people in your community, they got guns. You call me up. I got a gun. I'm out in the border with you. I'm in.
Well, you know what we can do, Dan? I'll tell you, the best thing we can do is wake the people up to the fact that the federal government has no jurisdiction within the state.
Exactly. And that's the key thing. We kick their ass when they come across our line. They bring them stupid, silly planes, putting all that stuff in the air. Then whoever's responsible, we're going to get them. We're going to indict them. And anybody in that corporation that's in the control that comes into this state, they're going to be arrested. And we're going to try to bring them into this state to put them in jail for bringing all that poison here. Same thing with the foods and the
Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the FBI, and the IRS. We're going to
arrest. There you go. They can't come and operate here because they're all illegal. They're all frauds.
Outside their jurisdiction.
That's right.
Forget.
So,
all
so it's very easy to control it right here.
Sounds good to me.
And you know what? When you have
the people that are crossing the other nations around the world to bring war to our shores, and that's what we're really facing right now, guys.
Right.
War is going to come to our door soon if it's not mitigated.
When they try to draft people out of New York to fight their wars, it's not going to happen.
I'm saying it's going to be over here, guys. They're causing things to bring the war to our shores.
I understand. You're absolutely. That's why we have to act quickly.
False flag, my friend. That is a false flag. We're going
to
ignore them.
Too many people talking at one time. I had one person
and
to pick up.
I'll assist in whichever way I can assist. That's all I can offer you. I'm keeping your feet to the fire on it because I recognize the danger that our country is facing right now. All of the states are facing it simultaneously.
I agree.
They're playing a zero-sum game with all of our lives right now. And we need to get about it.
I think you got to shift
your focus, okay? You got to shift your focus away from being a patriot and being the United States of America and start shifting your focus on being a sovereign individual, okay?
Right, and taking care of your state.
My focus is protecting my friends and family from an imminent attack to this country of
proportions. I want to take the floor right now. Hold on. I want
to
take control of the floor for a moment here. I want to try to
bring
a little order. And also, I'd like to make a very important point, because this whole thing is a very simple process. This is not complex at all. The bottom line is this. Whatever is wrong in front of you, you start out what you see, right, what's right here, and you fix it. If it's evil, you got to make it good. You got to turn it around. You got to stop it. And if you start working in your own little town and your own little county, then you get your state together and you work that process right out. Whatever is happening out there is happening out there. Let me tell you something. Other states are seeing what we're doing, and when we get to a certain point, they'll start doing what they got to do also. But when we get to 25 or 30 states and the other states are also moving towards that process, that's when we can kind of move into Washington to some degree. But again, you know, we need to indict all of these no good people that once you change the people in the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate, these people, they go and they go lobbying. That's illegal. So what we have to do is we got to get our legislature, which we will have the power to push in directions, and say, look it. You got to let our people know. We got 27 or whatever it is, 20. I think we have 27 congressmen now in the state of New York. You got to make it illegal for our 27 congressmen to take money and to be paid off to do something for the elite. You got to make that illegal. You got to make it illegal for these two senators of New York for them to do anything illegal in Washington. Because when they come home and they go take money from these people, all these special interest groups, and they cross the border, we want the sheriff to arrest them. And we got to put them in jail, and we'll get someone else to take their place. When you got 25 states doing that, now you're changing Washington, okay? Now you're changing Washington. Once you get over 30, 35 states, that's it. The administration doesn't have the power no more. So it all starts right here. It's a very simple thing. Let's fix our justice system in our county. We talk to the judge. We glean from his wisdom. Believe me, he's going to turn on a dime. We're going to talk to our sheriff. He's easy because he's waking up right now. We're going to talk to our prosecutor. You know, we're going to play a little hardball with him maybe because he's a lawyer and he thinks he knows everything and we're stupid. And that's okay. We're going to make him stupid too, and he'll agree with us at some point. And we have to deal with our county government, and we have to deal with now the state under the government. And in 30 days, 60 days of taking power, I believe we'll have that all straightened out. We have to stop the GMOs out of the food. 90 days, anything crosses this border, someone's going to go to jail for trying to poison the people. We have to do something with the fluoride. We have to do something with Agenda 21. I mean, all these things we fix. We can fix them in no time.
Those are great, great places to deal with. We also have to deal with the fact that we have people in Washington that are dismantling the protection of this country in such a way that they're inviting massive harm to come to this country, and we have to make it illegal for them to do so.
In what form?
They're dismantling our ability to respond to certain types of attacks.
What kind of attack
do you think other nations can wield against us?
Virtually nothing.
Well, I don't know that that's true. You know, look at
the quote. You think virtually nothing.
No, listen, this is an enemy within. I agree. It's an enemy within. This is all psyops that attacked us.
But they could.
This is Berman is telling you to bring you.
No, I'm not. I have proof. Okay.
These countries, listen.
Point of order.
I don't know whether. Excuse me, everybody. I don't know. I'm just going to have to mute everybody right now. We'll start with hands up again. Gerard, you're unmuted right now. I unmuted everyone else. I mean, I muted everyone else. Raise your hands. We'll do one or two at a time because there's way too much confusion. I can't understand the conversation. And there are certain places we don't want to go. Well, the purpose of this room is to establish a grand jury in the state of New York and to assist any other state. They can watch what we're doing and hopefully do what we're doing. We'll share everything we do, every step. And if we make errors, we'll share our errors and so that they don't make them. And we've got a lot of we happen to have a lot of knowledge in this area now. We're able to do what we have to do, and we believe we got the right way to do it, so we're going to do it. And we will share everything we're doing so other people can move quicker. Right now, for other states, the key thing is to start getting this message out and organizing, getting 25s and 25s. I see California and New York up. I'm going to unmute you in a minute. And getting their 25s. But I want to focus in on organizing. I want to focus in on the importance of the grand jury. I want to focus in on what the power of the grand jury is, how we can take control, you know, from the county and state level up. But I don't want to get lost in conversations, you know, about, because we know there's a danger. I can list a dozen of them myself. Okay, we know that they're ready to collapse the economy. We know they're ready to throw up some black flag operations. We know that, but let's do the business and focus in on getting things going. Let me open up New York, and I want to open up Fort Clyde.
I want to Northwest, say something. I'll open can I get a word in here, edgewise, please?
Yes.
We don't have to argue about where the attack is coming from. There's one thing that we can agree on. We have an enemy within, and regardless of whether it's going to cause another country to attack us, whether it be because we can't respond to it, or we're inviting it, or they allow a false flag to look like that, it makes no difference. Our biggest enemy right now is within our borders. I'm more worried about the team that supports Obama. You know, Obama is not the end-all. He's run by those world bankers. So, you know, you can get rid of Obama and I got another devil to stick in there. He doesn't get in there unless he's doing the will of the World Bank. And that's the truth. So
all right.
Our enemy,
Gerard,
we control our enemy.
Let me talk you down off the soapbox here for a second, okay? And let's get back to what this discussion is all about. This discussion is all about New York State. We should not be talking about the federal government here. We should be talking about our villages and our towns and our counties and our state and nothing else. Any discussion of Obama, the federal government, you know, foreign attacks and all that crap is out of bounds in this discussion. Go find another talk group, okay? It's not relevant here, okay? Because we got bigger fish to fry right in our own backyards, like you're saying, Gerard.
That's right.
Let's get out of the federal government crap. It's a waste of time. As a matter of fact, it's a complete distraction. And, I appreciate the gentleman's point of view down in Florida, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Right. Got to turn off the psyops because that's
by the way,
Fort exactly
Clyde is open.
Is.
New York
right.
is open. And Northwest New York is open. I think that was New York speaking now, right?
Yeah, can I get a word in?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I live in New York. My name's Steve.
How you doing,
and
Steve?
I think our first thing we should do is go after Cuomo because he created civil unrest. Period.
Right.
We agree 100%. That is our big focus.
So what's next?
What the plan is this. This is the plan. And, you know, if you go back and listen to some of the earlier conversations in the last couple of weeks, you know, you get more detail. But the plan very simply is this. 62 counties all at the same time, one Monday morning, they wake up and we're there. Okay, and we're in power. First order of business of every grand jury is the very first thing is to deal with their judge. There's one elected judge in every county. Everybody has a county seat, the grand jury. You're in the same building as the judge. You're on the third floor. He's on the second. Hey, come on up. We're not gonna command him to come in. We want to get wisdom from him. He knows the ropes. He knows how things work. We're the new kids on the block. Come on up. We'd like to talk to you. And believe me, he's going to know the jig's up, and he's going to comply and respond, and very rarely will he go up against it. So we will straighten him out that way, and when he tells us all the good things that we want to hear, we're going to say, well, we really want to learn more. So whenever you have a court case going, one of our grand jurists is going to be there so they can bring information back and we could all learn how justice works. And that's how we're going to take care of that guy. And if he doesn't respond properly, then we indict him. But we're going to be nice to him. And now the same thing with the prosecutor. We shut down the grand jury. Yeah?
I got one other question, and that is...
But let me finish the whole point. We get the prosecutor in there. We tell the prosecutor he can't use that puppet grand jury no more. We're the guys. That'll shut down on its own now. We tell him you can't use jurists that are citizens and controlled by the government. We'll create a vacuum in what we're doing. We'll get a lot of people who want to be just regular jurists, and we'll get them on board, and we're going to let them know. We'll make a little booklet on a jurist handbook, which is going to talk about being free. And you guys get to decide both the facts and the law. So jury nullification we're going to teach, and then let the jury go in and decide. And if that judge goes and tries to tamper with that jury by telling him trying to explain what the law is, that's tampering with the jury. We'll indict him. So you now corrected the whole judicial process right there. Okay, we move the process into a common law process, and let me tell you, all these lawyers are out now because they don't know what common law is if they fell over it. So you're going to open up a whole new avenue of business for people who want to come in to help people to defend themselves, which would be really just counselors. Okay, now you move over into the other realm, and you're dealing with your sheriff. You pull the sheriff in. And you're going to explain to him, we'll write a booklet for him too, you know, handbook, sheriff's handbook. So these are the things you shouldn't do. These are the things you should do. And if you have any questions, you can call this number up, and we'll be here willing to answer your questions. If you're not sure if something's legal or illegal, we'll let you know. And we get a sheriff on board. Now the town courts are going to start to shut down because we call our town justices in. We have 17 town justices right here in towns here in Dutchess County, and we have a bunch of city ones. So we have maybe 25 or 30 or whatever it is, maybe some two in each one. We'll call them in, 40 or 50 of them, and we'll talk to them. Look, if you guys want to continue your town court, that's fine. But you got to let the people know the whole thing's a fraud. You got to let them know that there's something hidden here, that you're doing a fraudulent thing to get them to consent, and they don't know that they don't have to consent. They don't know that statutes aren't law. So you know what? You got to tell them that they got to give them the choice. We're going to take you into this court system, and we're going to find you guilty of something, and we're going to put you in jail, or we're going to give you a fine, or we're going to give you both. Or you can walk out that door right now and we can't do a damn thing. That's the choice you're going to give the people. And when that judge is, you're going to shut down the town courts. Now you're going to start to reduce a lot of the town polices and a lot of the police forces. They're not necessary. They're there just to hurt us, not to do us good. Then these things might fall back under the sheriff, which back under the people. Maybe the sheriff will start to fill the voids of these town courts, these town police that can't afford town police no more. Well, the sheriff will be funded. Make sure that we have a police force sufficient to do whatever it has to be done, okay? And the only other force left is the police force, the state police, okay? I'm sure the city police will never run out, at least not now in New York City. But that should fall under the sheriff, too. You see, the thing is little by little, we're going to bring this whole thing back to order very quickly, okay? So that's the plan. Then on the state level, we deal with the three powers of government, the two legislative branches and the administrative. We've already dealt with the judicial on a county level. That's done. Then we can call in the appellate court, the court of appeals. We can have them school us and teach us, and we're going to sit in and listen like a hawk. And that's it. It's very easy, I think.
I agree with you, John.
Well, right, you have a lot more knowledge than me. But with all these lawsuits going on against Cuomo, isn't it possible for a citizen to make a citizen's arrest?
Yeah, but we're not there for that. Here's the thing. When we get in power, we go tell Cuomo what he's got to do. He's not going to have a choice. He's going to do it. If he doesn't, we will indict him. But he's not going to not do it. He's going to do it. But what's going to happen is someone's going to come with a complaint against Cuomo that's a real complaint that he damaged them in a serious way. And they're going to come to the grand jury and say, you know, I've been violated and I want justice. And you know what? The grand jury is going to have to give him justice under that case, and he may go to jail. We'll indict him, put him before the jury, let the courts decide. That's their business. That's what they do. But you see, if we go out to attack him to bring him down, that's not going to work. We have so many enemies around the world, and I'm talking, you know, the New World Order enemies, they're everywhere. We have so many enemies. If we can make some of our enemies our friends, and I really believe these judges that are enemies today will become our friends tomorrow. I really believe these legislators and senators up in Albany that are enemies today, they're going to become our friends tomorrow. Let's make friends.
John, let me interject something again about jurisdiction, okay? Are you familiar? When you look at your driver's license, it says New York State, all capital letters, all right? That is not the Constitutional Republic of New York. The Constitutional Republic of New York is the small s state of capital New York, okay?
Okay.
And so when you fight against Cuomo, as we the people, you lose because Cuomo is operating under a public benefit corporation called New York State.
Yeah, but
okay?
Nobody knows that.
And this is all about, and people volunteer for benefits and privileges. Okay, they give up their salary.
I understand, but they don't know that they're doing
why
that.
You can't do, that's why you can't work it that way, okay? And that's why the common law court is going to work, all right, because it's superior to that, okay?
Right.
But this is why lawsuits don't work.
That's
because
right.
Lawsuits don't work because it's a voluntary public benefit corporation, New York State. The Republic State of New York is something completely different. And that's what you and I think we're living in, but we're not living in that. Okay, when we bring a lawsuit against them, we're bringing a lawsuit against a voluntary public benefit corporation.
But though,
well, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing to this, though. We're opening up the common law courts. We're shutting down the Nisi Prius courts. We're shutting down the statutory side of things. Look, if people want to volunteer into that thing, that's fine. That's what they did in England, and nobody ever went into the statutory side. Everybody wanted the common law side of the court, and that's why it was very popular for hundreds of years. But let me say this. When you get these people and we open up the common law side of the courts, that's when we're going to get convictions. And there's no way that these guys are going to come in, because they're going to sound like the crazies now, because I'm not going to bring it up. But they're going to come in. Well, wait a second here. We have the capital S instead of the little S. And you see, we defrauded you, and therefore there's nothing you could do, because we're in a fantasy world in the land of Oz. And so we know that they're not going to be able to do that. So they're going to go to jail. The people are going to decide and say, hey, these guys go to jail. But the people will decide.
That's the issue. You're putting the people in charge.
That's right.
Well, you have to. You know, we have to establish our own sovereignty. Okay, and there is no way you're going to bring a public the governor of New York, who is governing a public benefit corporation, New York State, under common law, because it is a voluntary forfeiture of your natural rights, okay? And people have that's the wake-up call we need to give to people, all right?
Well, we needed to give it to ourselves.
Right. One of the ways we're going to bring them under control is this. It's a very, really simple process. We're reestablishing the common law. Therefore, we're establishing the court of record. When someone goes into court under a court of record against the government, certainly if I'm taking them into court, I am not going to give up the tribunalship. I'm keeping the tribunalship. I'm going to be the judge and jury of this court system. Not the judge, because court of record doesn't permit for the magistrate to be the judge. He's just the administrator, and he is to reflect the will of the sovereign. Now, since the state is being brought in, they can't ask for a jury trial. They don't have the right to a jury trial. So you've got a court system that you're going to put on a good show on, and you're going to have an administrator that's the magistrate and not the judge, because you can't have a government-paid official deciding on the people. It's ridiculous. That's what we have. That's the simple side. We're getting rid of that. We're going common law. So now I'm going into that court. I'm the tribunal. I'm going to put on a good show. I'm going to show how guilty these people are, and then I'm going to make the decision, and I'm going to put down whatever the results of that case is, whether it's a fine or whether it's imprisonment or whatever it is. And that, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny.
Let me make my point one more time.
that I agree with common law. Common law works very well within the Republic of New York, okay? Common law does not work within the Public Benefit Corporation, New York State, okay? So if people volunteer themselves into this system, then your common law is out the window a little bit, all right? So when I'm not dismissing what we're trying to do here. I'm trying to strengthen it, but I'm trying to let us understand that we're gonna run into some roadblocks. We're gonna run into roadblocks when we're gonna try to institute common law against a voluntary public benefit corporation.
Well, I understand that. You're absolutely right. If the people want to go into that process, then let them go into that process. That's their business. But we're not gonna let them be deceived. Okay, we're going to require the court to tell the people. You have to tell the people what options they have. When I go into a court, I open a court of record under a common law procedure, and I'm the tribunal, and they don't want to hear it. Well, they have to let the people know that you want to do a common law procedure. Put it on the paperwork, okay? And if people are stupid enough to go get themselves a lawyer, then they're going to continue to be defrauded, and they're going to continue to pay for their lawyer and not get justice, if that's what they want. But we have to go back into the schools. We're not just doing this with the grand jury. We're also doing this with the committeemen, where we get into our election districts on the political side of things, and we start to re-educate our people in our communities, and we start to take control back to the schools. The schools got to be in control in the community. The towns, the people in the town or whatever community it is, they need to decide on the curriculum. They need to decide what's good and bad, what morality should or shouldn't be taught, and so on and so forth. And once we get back to that and we start teaching real education, we teach them about what civics is, what liberty really is, and teach them about with real mathematics and sciences, okay, and get rid of all the bullshit the propaganda that they train our children with, that's when it'll change. And it may take a little time, and people will fall into the rut because they look at, if the people want to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It can't happen. They're expecting what never was and never will be. But we will re-educate them. Meanwhile, we'll get the state back on control. We'll get the counties back on control. We'll get the judicial system back on control. And we'll do the best we can. And I think it's going to move very quick. Because, look, liberty, is popular. Liberty is popular. When people really see what real liberty is, it's going to be popular. So it'll move a lot quicker. And I think we can hope.
That's the message, John. That is the message.
And what are we doing right now?
What do you mean?
What's happening? What do we have in progress right now?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What do we have what?
What do we have going right now? What's in the works right now?
Well, we're trying to establish grand juries in every county. 25 people. We're looking for 25 people. We got counties that we don't have anybody organizing in, so those counties got to get moving. We got the people next door counties have to call the counties next door to them and work with their neighbors. And that's the message I want to get out today, is everybody that's in this game and you're working on your county, look to your county next door. Go out on our website. See if there's a leader. Call that leader up, introduce them yourselves to them, work with them. There's probably people in their group that belong in your county and vice versa, and you can help each other out. And if you see a county that doesn't have a leader, seek out a leader in that county. Make a connection with them. Get them on board. Tell them what we're doing. Have them find their 25. We only have about 2 or 3 weeks to get our 25s in order to get this thing going. Otherwise, the date's got to be pushed away. And I'm afraid to push the dates away. That's why I'm driving real hard. 25, get them now. We're going to have Dutchess County, I believe. We're going to have our 25 before this week is out. Okay? There are counties that can do that. Do it. And then you know what? Work in your county next door. Work in the county next door to your next door. Get them going. Get them moving. Let's get organizing. Let's get friends with the people next door.
John, is the roadmap for all of us county organizers really to get our 25, or is there a step before that? I mean, do we need to have a common law expose or?
Exactly. We have what we have right now is a preparation for a common law expose or a workshop. And we're going to be doing four workshops in the state of New York. And it's going to be in four locations, obviously different locations. Right now we're looking at Monroe, we're looking at maybe Albany, we're looking at Westchester, and we're looking at maybe Queens or Long Island. Okay, and if we have to, we'll do another one. But right now we're planning four. And people will have to travel to them. It's going to be an all-day affair, at least 8 hours. But when they come in there and they come out of there, they're going to know exactly what the game plan is. They're going to walk out with, not only are they going to be introduced to them and laid out, they're going to walk out with paper program. They're going to walk out with electronic stuff. You don't want to stick. They're going to walk out with little booklets, you know, grand jury handbook. Okay, maybe we'll get the jury handbook, too, up. It depends on how much money we can get. We're trying to collect money. But, you know, we'll do what we can, and we'll get it together. Meanwhile, we developed one page. Go to newyorkcommitteeman.org. Click on judicial process. When that page opens up, look on the top and find jury. Click on jury and devour that page. Everything you need to know is right on that page. And it'll give you a nice rounded education of common law. We have at least 50 hours of audio tape up there. We've got... it's all in MP3s. You can download them, stick them on your MP3 players, put them on CDs, stick them in your car, whatever you got to do, just download them. Listen when you're driving. Listen when you're working. Listen when you're not, if you're, you know, summer's coming, you're going into your pool, you're hanging out, put it on, just put it on the background, okay? And just go through it. You don't have to know all that stuff. You just have to be exposed to it so you get the foundational thinking. That's it. And those who want to study and get involved in the law side of this thing and find it as fascinating as I find it, then now you look at it in a different way and you study it and you get it down pat. You play it over and over. The best way to do it is play these tapes over and over and over and over and over again. Next thing you know, it starts spilling out of your mouth. Okay? It just comes out. So that's the setup. And then the four, you know, these four locations will prepare people. But the education won't stop there, okay? We will continue the education beyond that for those who want to get further. And I got to believe that at least a couple of people in each grand jury is going to get highly educated, and that's going to be the core background of the juries. That's going to be the spine. And someone will always come in and get interested, and you'll have at least one or two people that are really astute and will really know, we can't do that, guys, and this is, and you'll teach everybody. And that'll happen on its own.
What was that path a minute ago?
Where to get to it?
Yeah.
NewYorkCommitteeman.org.
And then?
On the left side, click on Judicial Process. When that page opens up, you'll see tabs on the top of the page. Click on jury. And that's everything. Right. Everything is there. Everything. Now, we have a lot more on our website, but what you really need to expose yourself at least is on that page right there. And if you don't expose yourself to anything else, you will have an understanding of liberty on that page alone. And that's what we need.
Right.
People who think they know what liberty is, I speak to myself first. I thought I knew. But I really didn't. I thought it was freedom. It wasn't what I really thought it was. Let me tell you, liberty is a responsibility. Liberty is a maturity. Liberty requires, acknowledging God. Liberty, there's a lot to liberty that people just don't realize. And without these foundational, fundamental things, you cannot have liberty. You can claim it. You can say you're going to get it without God. It's not going to happen. It will deteriorate, and you'll self-destruct eventually, because it can't be about you. It's got to be about a higher force. It's got to be. Otherwise, we can't have it. You know, the whole thing is good against evil. And as a matter of fact, if you study law and you look at the word justice, okay, it's exactly where it lays it out. The bottom line, the fundamental, the foundation, the black and white, it says, is good against evil. There it is. Okay? So, you have to look at it from that standpoint. And, you know, the good thing about it is that God says that that the law is written in the hearts of all men. They all know it. You know what the law is. I know what the law is. I know what's right and wrong. Everybody does. So it is simple. And you follow the heart. You also have to have a sense of mercy. If you don't follow the heart and you don't have the sense of mercy, you don't have justice. So there are times when mercy is required and not the law. And we have to pray to know the difference between it. You know, we can't feel sorry for people and let them off the hook. That's not the point, you know. What we have to do is really dig down deep and discover, you know, what should be done here and discuss it as a group of people without arguments. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything, but we all have to be there to share everybody something. And right. And then we have to figure it out. We just have to vote and go forward, you know.
I joined in late. What's your name?
My name's John.
John?
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
So that's where we're at. Are you in New York?
Yeah.
What county?
Dutchess County.
Well, I'm in Dutchess County, too. Are you becoming a grand jurist?
Yes, I'm on there.
Oh, you're on there. What's your name?
Me and Ronnie.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yes. Yeah, sign up and let's get going. Manny should be calling you soon if you're on the list of the last meeting.
Yeah.
And if you can find anybody else that hasn't been at the meeting that wants to come in, you know, get them to the site, get them to Manny, and get them signed up. And let's get your papers and your $30 in and get ready for the, conference.
Whatever I need to do, because... You know, it's a lot of common sense, and
right. People
robbed of their common sense.
You must be the guy I spoke with earlier on the phone.
Yes.
From Poughkeepsie.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, I'm glad to hear you here.
Pizza time. Yeah, I come in late.
You'll be able to listen to the whole thing if you click on, when you go to our website on the left side, you will see a blue box that says... New York Liberty Alliance on it, and there's a play button there that's a recorder. You click on that, and you'll hear, after we close the room down tonight, you'll hear tonight's programming from the beginning.
Okay.
And there's also a drop-down box. You can listen to our past recordings. This should be number 26, I think. Yeah, it's number 26.
What paperwork do I need to do?
I'm sorry?
You said something about paperwork at $30.
Right, yeah. Everybody has to fill out an application to come to the workshop. We got to know how many people are coming. So we have to fill out the paperwork, and it costs $30 bucks a piece. We'll feed everybody. We'll have materials to hand out. So the $30 will cover our costs.
Right. Where is that going to be?
Huh?
Where is that going to be?
For us, there's going to be one in Westchester and one in Albany, so you can go to either
Albany,
one.
Yeah.
So you'll check up when you fill out the paperwork. You check the one you want to go to, and that you go to that one. But we need to get a head count. The figuring the logistics is really involved here because you know we have to know how many people, how big a room, how much food we got to get together, what kind of materials, how many multiplications
right.
of the materials,
Ulster County.
Huh?
Do you have anybody from Ulster County yet?
We have two people from Ulster County. I haven't really worked hard in Ulster County. I'm trying to get people to spearhead and work in Ulster County, but
yeah,
we do have two people there.
I know a few people over there, and it's close.
Get them into our Monday night. Get them into our website. We're going to be get them out onto the website and look at our calendar. We're having presentations all over the place. We're going to be having a presentation up in Greene County shortly. Gerard should be setting up hopefully for next week. I'm trying to set up another presentation here in Dutchess County next week. So we should have two local, and you can get the people from Orange and Ulster and everything to come into those. We're trying to get one over in Orange County. We're working on one down in Westchester County. We have one this week. We're going down to Staten Island, so we'll be down there. We're working on getting something down in Long Island. We also have one we're trying to work on. Either it's going to be in Albany. I don't know if Skip's in the room, but he's supposed to be working on this to help us get set up either in Albany or Schenectady or Saratoga. Probably Saratoga might be good for us because that'll pull a lot of people from the north and the west in. So, again, and anybody out there that's in a different county and you want a presentation, if you're close to one that's going to happen, get to that. If not, give us a call. We'll come out. We went to Monroe this past week. next week. Let's see, when are we going? I don't have it up on the calendar. I think the 18th, we're heading out to Shula, S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R, Shyla?
Skylar.
Skylar. We're heading out to Skylar, I think, the 18th. We have another guy that's given these presentations coming from Erie, so any of the other counties over, you know, Steuben, Yates, Ontario, well, a lot of those people will be coming to the Skylar County presentation, hopefully. But if they need more, we do have a guy out west now that's going to be giving them. So we have someone out there, and we're hoping to get more up north. So look at people, we'll go anywhere you want us to go. We're setting them up during the middle of the week. We're setting them up on Saturdays. You know, just hook in.
Yep, I get relatives up at Saratoga, so I'll let them know.
Get them in. Saratoga? Yeah, we're going to be up that way soon. They have to get onto our website, get onto our calendar, and see. Up on the top of our website, you'll see a join button. Click on the join button, and you'll get on the email list. And we don't do much emailing through there. So a little bit comes through, but you'll get the notifications whenever there's a whenever there's going to be a presentation or a workshop or anything. You'll get the email on that, so you'll be notified. That's automatic. Once we set it on that calendar, it automatically goes out.
Okay, I might be on the list already, but that's good. No, everything's moving along, and we're going to make it happen.
We got to make it happen.
We have no choice.
That's right. And as soon as we get 25 in any county, I'm going to color that county yellow. You'll look up on the list of all the leaders, and when you see a county in yellow, it's all things highlighted yellow, that means they got their 25. Anybody in that county, let's focus in on the counties around you. Let's move on to the other counties. Let's help the other counties get their 25. This is a joint action. Look at, we as one county without the other 61 are nowhere near as powerful as 62 working together, and that's what we have to be. We take care of our own business in town, our own home, our own counties. We deal with that whatever problems within our own counties and towns. That's our business. We do it whatever way we want to do it as a people. And then together, we'll come together and agree how we're going to deal with the state level. And we're going to deal with it. And it's a pretty simple process. Matter of fact, we're going to lay the plan out at the, we'll lay the plan out at the workshop. And if people are happy with that plan, when you develop yourself and you finally turn into the grand jury, then you just place the vote as a full grand jury. We don't even have to meet, maybe. We'll place the vote as the full grand jury. Yeah, we agree. That's a good plan. Or if some counties disagree, then maybe we'll get together more and discuss it more and make some changes. But there's no time to waste. We have to move.
Hey, John, if I'm to organize a common law expose in Erie County here, I know I got an email that you sent out with respect to the expose that you ran down in Chautauqua.
Yeah, that was presentations.
Yeah.
The expose is, well, yeah, I guess that is the expose. Yeah, the expose, we did call it that. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, I'd like to put out maybe like some sort of a mass email, see if I can get some general interest rather than calling everybody one by one. I've got a pretty
right.
extensive mailing.
Do you know
mailing.
Dave?
Would you suggest, is there a flyer or a text that you'd use to attract attention? I know that you listed about 15 things that we could change, you know, eliminating the income tax, all that sort of stuff. And
right.
Abolishing the Federal Reserve. Is that what you'd suggest using as a flyer?
I think we have something up there. If we don't, I'll check maybe tonight or tomorrow and make sure we do have a flyer that's good that you can put into an email. The email that that we wrote up and got out, which said, you know, we talked about the 6-3 decision, you know, so on and so forth. That turned out to be pretty good. We got a lot of people responding on that. So maybe re-edifying that one.
Okay.
So I'll make if you don't have a copy, I'll get you a copy of that for an email. But once you get your meeting together, do you know Dave Mongello up in Niagara?
No, I need you to get me his contact.
Go out onto the page.
I looked. He's not there.
Yeah, he is. He's out there.
Okay. He's out in Niagara County?
He's in Niagara County, and he has his name on a couple of counties because he's overseeing them to help get organizers for that. But his name is on Niagara. You can click on his phone number. He's available usually all the time. A partnership with him. He's able to. He's the guy that will be giving the presentation. And if you want to work with him and work out the presentation, then the PowerPoint is up online. Anybody can download it. Go out to anybody that's a leader or wants to be a leader. Go out to County Contacts. It's the second button from the bottom up. And on that page, you'll get some instructions. It gives a little information. I don't know why the site's so slow here. Finally opened. Okay. You'll get some instructions, what our plan is and what we're developing. And there's a lot of – this could be almost a you can use this as a flyer pretty much. We're developing a real grand jury, education, communications, we're presenting and so on. Then you have a list of all the county leaders.
Yep.
So once you get past that on the bottom, underneath the county leaders, we have instructions for leaders, okay? Here's what the leaders should be doing. Special message and instruction for all county leaders. And this is a good part of the plan.
Gotcha.
Now, recently, I sent out a newsletter to all of the county leaders, and I'll probably reduplicate that again as we get more county leaders. And maybe I'll write it up here, what I wrote out on that, which is what we have to do. But we have every county leader, and it could be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 county leaders. Who cares? Just get lots of people working together. And every county should be collecting the applications and the $30. Now, if you have a meeting and people are in, try to sign them up right there. If they ain't got the $30, they will sign it up and drop the $30 off later in the week, and just get them to do it. You see, until they fill out the paper and put out the $30, you don't know whether they're going to show or not.
I hear
but
you.
Once they make that commitment, then they'll show.
I hear you. Where's this PowerPoint, John?
It should be on the bottom of this page. Let me see. I'm looking now myself. Site's very slow right now. Maybe I need to reboot my computer. Yeah, down on the bottom, you'll see two PowerPoints, one for the grand jury and the other for committeemen.
Gotcha.
Don't bother with the committeemen right now. Work on the grand jury.
Gotcha.
At the workshop, we're going to spend a half hour on committeemen. And hopefully we're going to get at least 4 people out of every county that will become a committeeman, too. It'd be ideal to get all 25 people to become committeemen, but at least if we can get 4. And then when the grand jury reinstates by force through the New York State Board of Election the acknowledgement of a law that they've been rejecting to enforce and hiding for 70 years, and that is the election of the elected committeeman, then we will be the elected committeemen, and we will have people that are liberty-minded working on this justice problem, but also on a political level, and we will take control of the whole 2 parties in the state of New York through that process.
Nice.
Completely, 100%. There'll be no more politics in New York because we created something. We've already had a big meeting of all the elected committeemen in the state of New York, and we created new party rules. We created a resolution. Everything's ready to go as soon as we get in power. We just need to be initiated back into power. Once we take power, there's no more politics. It's Republican and Democrat working together to clean up Albany and to clean up Washington and to reinstate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and forget about politics. Because, you see, politics is all about control. Republicans want to control. The Democrats want to control. And how do they control? They control through legislation. Well, we're going to get rid of all that garbage legislation, and if there's no legislation controlling the behavior of people, then there's no politics to argue. We've just ended it. And maybe one day we'll just become the Democrat-Republican body.
And John, this is...
I don't want to be a member of either of them.
How you doing, Hashem? What'd you say? I missed the last statement.
I said I don't want to be a member of either of them.
Well, either do I, but if it doesn't have that ramification anymore and if it's not evil anymore and it's good, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't mind being called a Republican if it really meant that, okay? I don't like the word Democrat, but if people want to use the word Democrat, I don't want to fight with those people. I want to work with them to reinstate the Constitution. I want them to leave me alone. And you know what? A lot of Democrats are conservative. A lot of people don't realize. I met a lot of Democrats who are conservatives. They're just very quiet. But, you know, look, I don't care what a liberal-minded person does. That's their business. I don't care. Go have do whatever you want. I don't care. Just as long as I can do what I want.
We're small L libertarians. We don't have party affiliations.
Right. Hopefully one day we'll get rid of it. But until then, that's the power. Okay? We have to take the power over, and maybe we can eliminate it. But that's got to take a little time for people to digest, because that's a big change for people. And it's like the baby nipple. They got to get rid of their sucker, or whatever they call that, you know?
Pacifier.
Yeah. Hesham.
Yes, so.
How you doing? Go right ahead.
Thank you. May I have an audience with you on the record for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Is anything that you are advocating for and we are doing is about violence?
Is about what?
Violence.
Violence? No, we don't advocate violence in any way. We're trying to avoid the violence.
Very good. Is anything about vengeance?
If we don't have a sense of mercy, then we're wasting our time and we'll only be back to be them. We'll become them if we don't have mercy. There is no vengeance. We can't have that. And if we're going to become grand jurists, and if we cannot develop a sense of justice and a sense of honor and a sense of mercy, if we can't develop those three things, then we're just fooling ourselves, and we're going to be spinning our wheels, and we may even be more evil and those people before us.
Are we against government in principle, or we're against oppressive tactics and policies of government?
We're against the lawbreakers in government. If we get rid of the lawbreakers in government, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with our government. There's absolutely nothing wrong with our judicial structure. There's absolutely nothing wrong with any of those things, whether it's on a county level, a town level, a state level, or a federal level. The problem is the people running it and breaking the laws. Your statutes are laws for bureaucrats and elected individuals, municipalities, government agencies, federal agents. That's what statutes are for, to control them. It's sort of policies and procedures. And when they break those statutes, they have to pay certain penalties. Some of those penalties could be jail, could be 10 years in jail, okay, for breaking them. That's the purpose of statutes, to control those people in power. So that's the problem we have. We have evil people in power, and we can control them by going in and saying, you're breaking the law, and we don't have to go on a witch hunt. This is how you do to fix it. And if you fix it, we're all happy campers, and we're on to the next government agency. And if they don't fix it and they continue to break the law, then I guess the jury has no other choice but to indict, does it? Because it's got to fix the evil.
Okay. So that being said, do you have any update on the committeeman lawsuit with the Board of Elections?
We're going up before the appellate court on May 21st. I got to get that up online. We're going to be heard before the appellate court on our second case, 2012 case, and it's going to be a very strange situation and an embarrassment, and I'm going to be embarrassed for them, I guess, because we're up there and we shouldn't be there. We're up there for a writ of mandamus, a petition for a writ of mandamus, and what I'm going to tell the court is the fact of the matter that we're right there standing in front of their face talking to them about a petition for a writ of mandamus means that this court and the people who work for you, the clerks and everyone else, they have no clue on what a petition for a writ of mandamus is. And I'm a nobody without an education, and yet, you know, you've forgotten what justice is. You've forgotten what an extraordinary writ is. You forgot its purpose. And we have been beaten up down here for 8 months waiting to get up here to talk to you about this when we shouldn't even be. Because a petition for a writ of mandamus is simply this. It's a report of someone down below breaking the law, going up to the higher courts because you can't get them to obey the law. And they look at that and say, yeah, look, they're breaking the law, because they read the law. This is the law they're breaking. And this is what they've done. And they go down and say, look, you got to stop that. You got to fix, you got to obey the law. They got to do what the grand jury should be doing. They're supposed to be doing too. And they enforce the law and make them obey, and then we move to the next step. Well, they didn't do that. And it's supposed an extraordinary writ supposed to be heard very next on the calendar. And other than emergencies, it gets to the top of the stack. We should have been in there in 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Here we are, eight or nine months. I don't even know how many months it's been. It's been a lot of months waiting, and we're going to have to embarrass them, because what else are we going to do? We're going to make them feel good and get nothing done. We're going to have to embarrass them. They should walk out of there with their heads hanging low.
Thank you. My other question is there any significance to the end of this month regarding getting the 25 people? Like, what is the difference between the end of this month or the following month, other than the urgency of the situation?
Well, if we don't get them together in the next 2 weeks, okay, that's a lot of pressure for people. But we have to get our signatures in the next 2 weeks. We've got to get the commitments and the papers in the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, it's impossible to work out the logistics. Because, you know, I can't go on the first week of June, when we're going to have it on the next weekend, to call up a place, to find a place that has a room available that can handle 300 people or 400 people. And then I have to get the food together. We have to run off all of the necessary, booklets and pamphlets and paperwork and digital materials. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And by the way, we really need money. I don't have the money in my pocket anymore to do any more work, and I don't know anyone else around me that's got it. So if everybody throws in $20, we've got to put people for the extra money. You know, yeah, we need the $30, but we need $10 here or $20 here. If everybody does it, we'll have plenty of money to do our jobs and do our work, you know. But, we got to keep the lights on, so we need money. That's a big thing, money. You know, I hate to ask for money, and I don't know how to ask for money. I guess I just did. I just got to ask for it. You know, I don't know. It's a dirty word, money.
Thank you for that, but I still don't understand the jury thing. Is there an elections deadline, for example, in the law that we need to meet a deadline for?
Yeah. Juries don't really get elected. You know, they just come up, you know, grand jury. What we're doing is this. We haven't had a grand jury in Dutchess County in at least 80 years, maybe more, okay? But at least 80 years, our lifetime, we haven't had a grand jury. So what we need to do is we need to vote in that, yeah, the people of Dutchess County want a grand jury. So we're going to have that vote. And here is the slate of people. There's 25 people who stepped up to become grand jurists. And then we're going to vote it in and go through the process. Now, in the outside chance that maybe two or three other people in the room that hadn't heard any about this want to become grand jurors too, well, maybe we can convince them to get on the list to become the next wave. But if not, then maybe we're going to have to pull straws and pull the first 25. But well, maybe we'll allow all 30 to go in. But, when you come to a ruling, only 25 can come together at a time. And often there'll be less than 25 anyway, because people have lives to live. So maybe only 20 will show up, and the extra 3 will show up, and that'll be fine. So, look, every county's got to work it out themselves. But we cannot do it where you stump, you know, you get on a stump and you vote for me, you know. That's political. Forget about that. If anything, you pick a lot. Okay, you got 50 people here who want to be grand jurists. Well, you pick a lot. Okay, 25 become. Well, you got 25 left over. Hey, you know what, guys? Why don't you just get on the list, and as these people come out and retire out, the next one will move in. Okay? Let's pick lots to get you in an order. And some people may only want to be on a grand jury for 6 months, and as long as there's someone to take their place, hey, move on. So I don't think anyone should be more than 2 years. That's my suggestion. But every grand jury's got to decide for themselves. We can't have lifetime people on the grand jury. We just can't have that. It's a violation of everything. You let other people experience it. It's the people, you know? So
hey, John,
I'm thinking 2 years.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Are we – I mean, I have my own persuasions here. Should we not be excluding anybody from being a potential grand juror, regardless of their political or belief system?
You cannot prevent anyone that comes up and confesses to be a people unless they belong to a foreign private association like a lawyer who has an agenda and allegiance to a foreign source, they cannot be a jurist. So if a person is a lawyer and they want to become a jurist, they're going to have to leave the Bar Association. If they do that, then and they claim to be a people, and they claim to be a people, then you can't prevent them from coming on.
I mean, when you say prevent, I mean, should we encourage anybody of any persuasion?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
We have Muslims with us. We have Jews with us. We have Christians with us. And I happen to know we got a few people we got agnostics with us. And I happen to know I think we have a few atheists. But first of all, I don't believe there's a really true atheist anyway. They may say or think, but ultimately they know. But as long as they're following their hearts, and you don't have 25, if you had 25 atheists, you got a problem, you know. But hopefully doing the right thing and working around justice, and justice is leads us right to God. Maybe we'll be able to influence other people to get a relationship with their maker. You know?
Okay, so you believe we can overcome some sort of religious belief in statutory regulatory law?
The Founding Fathers did. You know, Thomas Jefferson, a lot of people don't know this, but if you read his autobiography, and we do have his autobiography up on our paper, our site, if you read Thomas Jefferson's autobiography, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he wrote in Jesus Christ. And when they sat to talk about this, and he agreed afterwards, you know, that was a little strong in the sense that, look, you can't shut the Jews out, you can't shut the Muslims out, you can't shut other people out, that they may find a problem with using Jesus Christ, so you do nature's God. And you know what? All of us come from the same Old Testament, ultimately. So we're all from the same Jehovah, the same God, the same Lord.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
Everybody has to work the rest out in the prayer closet, so I don't want to get into that.
I have some of my friends who are so steeped in statute law that they can't get over it. Would they be, should I be encouraging them?
We wouldn't want to be encouraging them to come in if they're that involved in it. I mean, look at, we have a government not by majority, but by the majority that participates. And we have a certain mindset we're trying to teach. And when a grand jury takes a seat, hopefully they've developed that mindset, and it's a continuing process in life anyway. But when we don't want to have 25 grand jurors leave at the same time, we'd like to have one leave here and one leave there, you know, and a new person coming in. And the other 24 have got to sort of educate that other person. Maybe we will establish an ongoing once a month process someplace where people can come and kind of, you know, they have a judge school. Maybe we should have a jury school. It's a one-day thing, it's really a self-education. We just teach you how to self-educate yourself, and we give you the principles.
What about excluding neocons or other political persuasions?
There's no politics. We don't even talk about politics, and that's the key to this whole thing. And you know what? Look, it's up to the 24 to pressure the prejudiced individual amongst them. And you'll always get a prejudiced individual, one or two or three here. And when 23 or 24 are hard down on that, no, that's not the right way to go. Come on, you're getting you're chasing this, or you're acting out of prejudice here, and you know they'll overtake that person, hopefully change them. But nevertheless, the most of the people that are doing the right thing, they're going to have the heavy vote anyway. But you know what? Here's the key thing. I don't want to worry about those things, because those things take care of themselves. And goodness and light always overtakes evil and darkness. Always overtakes them. Look, they took 100 years to create this prison that they've created, this statutory prison that's ready to close down the Iron Fist. 100 years and more. But they've been working in our system for 100 years. And look at this. In 3 months, we may very well just take the whole thing down. We found an Achilles heel. That's how God works. That's how the light works. So I think if a people that are called by his name humble themselves and pray and turn to him, that he'll heal the land, because he said that. That's what he said he'd do. And one of the things we are preaching here, and if it irks you, I'm sorry, but if you can't have this, you can't have justice without God. Okay, you know, justice is synonymous with virtue. That's a fact. That's in the Black's Law Dictionary. It is synonymous with virtue. And so where do you get virtue? You got to go to God. It emanates from God. It's the goodness of the heart, and the mind follows the heart. You know, the laws are written in the heart. The mind, the logical mind's got to work with the heart, and together you can always do the right thing. And everybody, well, there are people whose consciousness is seared. The Lord speaks about that. And maybe those are the people that have the possibility of becoming a serial killer or something. They have no conscience, you know. So those people do exist. But generally speaking, the population mostly, you know, they know right from wrong. They know, and but even a serial killer knows right from wrong. They just don't have a good heart. So, but anyway, I think all these things take care of itself.
All right. Well, you have a kind heart, John, and I hope that most people are like what you said.
I think, look, it's whatever it is you do becomes contagious, okay? If you really put the high pedestal up there, everybody will strive for it because they'll be ashamed not to. And I, you know what I found is darkness flees from light. So when you get evil amongst us, they don't hang out too long because they get too frustrated and angry. And when you pour the goodness back to them, as God says, it's like putting hot coals over their head. And they're either going to change their ways or they're going to run out of the room and get back into the darkness someplace else. So, again, God works that out.
Hey, John, procedurally speaking, with respect to a grand jury, if they're going to issue an indictment, is this unanimous or is it majority?
Majority.
Oh, it's majority.
Okay.
Yeah, unanimous on the other jury, though, to find them guilty has to be unanimous. One says no, they let them go free.
Gotcha.
They've changed that, but that's the way it's supposed to be. We're going to bring it back. You know?
Gotcha. All right.
Anybody else? Let me shut the recording down because it's been on long. Hang on one second.